I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ready!
Buffalo Bills game day on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
All right, here we go, here we go. We gotta have a drive.
23 left. The opening segment of Countdown to Kickoff is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proudly serving the Buffalo and Rochester areas. Now, with the Dunn Tire Roundtable, here's Sal Capaccio.
We are getting you ready for a 1 p.m. kickoff between the Buffalo Bills at the New York Jets, with John Murphy and Steve Tasker calling the play-by-play from the Northwest Bank broadcast booth. Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Today's broadcast is presented by Admar Construction Equipment and Supplies, equipment you need when you need it. My name is Sal Capaccio. I'll be joined in just a brief moment by Chris Brown and Steve Tasker from here in Orchard Park. But the game, of course, is in East Rutherford, New Jersey at MetLife Stadium, the Meadowlands, where right now it is currently 50 degrees, a very nice autumn afternoon. Well, I guess you'd say morning right now, but it will be an afternoon when the kickoff happens at 1 p.m. And we're looking at a 52-degree day at kickoff between the Bills and the Jets. Going to be a little cloudy as the game goes on. There will be some rain showers in the forecast later on, but should be well after the game ends the way it looks right now. So it looks like a very, very nice autumn day to play football at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. This is the Countdown to Kickoff Roundtable, and it is the Dunn Tire Roundtable, brought to you, of course, by Dunn Tire, the official tire of the Buffalo Bills. The opening segment of the Countdown to Kickoff Roundtable is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Western New York, proudly serving the Buffalo and Rochester areas. Gentlemen, welcome back to normal 1 o'clock kickoffs on a Sunday. I mean, the last couple of weeks, we've been here at all different days, all different times. So good to be back on a regular schedule, Chris.
It is. I hope it can continue.
Yeah, me too.
Outside of the primetime games that are left on the schedule that we know about, you know, Pittsburgh and San Fran. So, yeah, it was got a little hairy there the last couple of weeks, but back on Sunday, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, feels good.
You played a lot of primetime games when you played, so probably wasn't old hat for you. But
Tuesday was whack.
There you go. But yeah. Nice to be back like this.
Yeah, it is. Sure. It's nice to be back on that routine, and it also gives you some semblance that the league kind of had a couple of outbreaks and put the lid back on it and got their schedule on and saved all the games so far. We're nearing the halfway point, a couple of weeks away. Well, 1 week away from week eight, and they've done it. That's big. Mm-hmm. And continuing on, they seem to have been concentrating on learning from their mistakes, making sure people know that the stakes are high. And now that they've got the lid back on it, I think they're we got a chance again. I'm optimistic again.
Sure,
we get 256 games in.
Let's hope. Now, that said, the news of the last 24 hours came down right around 3 p.m. yesterday afternoon. The Bills have had their first COVID situation in the regular season. Tight end Dawson Knox, the team announced, has tested positive, and due to close contact with others in his position room, Dawson Knox, as well as Lee Smith, Nate Becker, and Tommy Sweeney were all placed on the reserved COVID list. However, obviously, Knox and Lee Smith were the only ones in the active roster. Sweeney's on PUP. Nate Becker is on the practice squad, and Knox was already not going to play in this game anyway. In the meantime, the team has called up four players from the practice squad. Two are their standard elevations per week, and two are replacements for the two active guys. So all of that bunched up here. Chris Brown, I'll let you take it away and tell me, what is the impact on this roster due to everything that happened in the last 24 hours?
Yeah, I mean, I think in terms of getting through today's game, they're fine. You know, you have Tyler Croft and you have Reggie Gilliam at the tight end position, so you should be able to get through the game. It's not like this team is playing a lot of 12 personnel or, you know, 22 personnel. So, I mean, outside of goal line situations, you know, they should be fine. And even with those two guys, they're all right. So I don't think it's catastrophic in terms of what they like to do offensively anyway. We know John Brown's out. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you assume that Gabe Davis is the guy that gets called up. But do they play more 10 personnel because they're down tight ends? I don't know that they do, because you have Croft. So do you go four wide? And I know they called up Duke Williams. So he's an option, I guess, if they want to go that way. So we'll have to see. We've seen this team dress six receivers almost every week with John Brown down. You have Duke Williams, so you could still do that if you want to. It'd be interesting to see the direction they decide to take there.
Yeah, they do have two tight ends. They usually do three, so I would think you'd have six receivers, only two tight ends. Usually it's nine total. Now it's eight, so where does the extra guy come from?
Yeah.
That could also come on the defensive side, too. We don't know because of the situation there. But it is going to be interesting. And Steve, I want to go back to what he talked about personnel-wise, because the Bills have run more 10 personnel than any team in the league percentage of their offense. 21% of their offense has been 10 personnel. That's four wide receivers on the field. That's how they've beaten this team the last couple of years. They spread them horizontally. They make those linebackers have to cover people. It's been a great plan by Brian Daboll. But they also don't have John Brown, which puts a little stress on having to do that if they want to.
Yeah, it does take some speed off the field for them. I mean, you're not going to switch out John Brown and Duke Williams and think
right. You're
going to get the same thing. So they're going to look different when they do line up, if they do go four wide and John and Duke Williams is on the field, no question. I think they could. I think it's more likely they put a defender up for
one of the DBs.
For one of the DBs, yeah. I think taking I don't see, like, T.J. Yeldon, maybe he's a possibility, that kind of thing. But I think it's more on the other side of the ball. And I think if they're going to do offense, I think you have just as much an option of bringing up another offensive lineman than you do.
Yeah, that's right. They could do nine offensive linemen if they want.
Right.
Exactly. They've usually done eight, which gives them the ability to have the extra man on the active roster anyway.
Right. We've seen them do this, but it's going to be telling, I think, how they choose to overcome this roster problem they've got now with. You know, the COVID and also the injuries with and Milano and those guys
at
over
cornerback.
There. Corner is the big question.
That's really going to be
an issue today.
We'll take a look at the defensive side, but I want to start with the offense, guys, because you know, first I want to talk about what's wrong with it, but at the same time, a lot of people I've heard all week assuming this is a quote unquote get right game. Just get out there. It's the Jets. You know, they're 0-6, so just, you know, you'll be fine. They can get by, which may be true, but I think the Bills have to look in the mirror a little bit, Chris, here first and get back to what they do. And they have to also not take the Jets lightly. I mean, the Jets, they do come in here with Sam Darnold, who has made plays against this team in the past. They have a talented young rookie wide receiver who is making his NFL debut. But there are times where, you know, you can look at this Jets team and say, you know what, they pose an issue here or there.
Right. I think the most confounding thing for Jets fans watching this offense through the course of the season, and I only know this because one of my best friends is a Jets fan, and he's, you know, ready to jump off a bridge. You know, you have talent on that side of the ball. There's no question about it. It's just utilizing it that's been the big bugaboo for them. I mean, how much talk did we hear coming into the season about what a talent Chris Herndon was, their tight end, who is a dynamic athlete? They can't get this guy the ball.
Nope.
And some people are blaming Gase because they're saying tight ends have never really been featured in his offensive schemes. I don't know if I completely agree with that, but they have talent on the field, and even when they've been beat up and injured at the skill positions, which they unquestionably have, you mentioned Mims hasn't even suited up in a game yet for the Jets, and we know Crowder's been dealing with an injury. He's doubtful today, and it's not looking like – I mean, it's a real possibility he doesn't play. And Perryman is just coming back from a two-game absence.
Right.
They still haven't gotten the ball to Herndon. So it's just like, where else are you going here?
Right.
So I think they have talent. They've just had a monumental problem finding the best way to utilize those pieces that they have at their disposal. And that's why they've struggled so much on offense. It's been a mess.
Yeah, it's also been the fact that Mekhi Becton's been on and off the field. They've had some injuries there. They've also, you know.
Their offensive line's a mess.
They've
coming
got
into
a mess, too.
Game.
And right. I think if you're talking about this as a get right game for the Bills, they might be getting right by the guys they don't play because those guys can get healthy.
That's a good point.
They may not get, they may get right.
Health wise.
Next week.
Yeah, get health wise right by.
I don't think this is going to be one of those 35 to 10 ball games. I really don't. I think it's going to be a lot closer than that. The Jets are going to, they're going to come out, they're going to play. Greg Williams will have a scheme to do it. And the Bills, and we'll get to this in a minute on the defensive side of the Bills. I think the offense, I think the problems for both sides of the ball for the Bills, whatever problems they have. Now, offense, you can say what you want about, you know, they've been hanging it up pretty good except for the last two games. I think it starts up front. If you can't run the ball, it starts up front.
All right, so let's stay
there.
We saw
it last week.
Let's stay there. So what has been the problem with the running game, Steve, from what you've seen?
Well, I think just like both sides of the ball, I think it's personnel. I think they've shuffled some guys around, no question. I think they missed John Feliciano. Brian Winters, let's just say it on base logic. I don't think this is exactly right, but 100%. But Brian Winters was cut from the Jets, and their offensive line is a wreck.
Well,
that's also the Jets.
And
right.
And
right. And they've also, Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams. I mean, you know, Brian Winters, saying, I don't say he's like this you know, all pro that they cut loose, but they've cut loose some pretty good players. And who knows the reasons behind, fully knows the reasons behind. But I know this, if Brian Winters was playing at an all pro level for that team, he'd probably still be there. But that's who you've got playing in there now. And Cody Ford has been moved around from both guard spots. Quentin Spain started out the season and was not getting it done, and he's no longer made. So they are making some moves. I think it's an acknowledgement that on both sides of the ball, the Bills are not getting it done.
Yeah, at the line
front,
of scrimmage.
Up
yeah.
front.
That's right.
And I don't think there's any question about that.
So I guess we should tell people, John Feliciano, he is eligible to return from IR, but not today. They would have had to done that by 4 p.m. last night for him to play today. So, obviously, he can't be in the lineup. But Quentin Spain is no longer on the roster. And with Cody Ford being hurt, I guess that leaves Ike Butker as the left guard, I would think, today.
Ike Butker makes the most logical sense. He replaced him in the game last week when he went out injured with the knee injury. I mean, your other option is, I mean, Darrell Williams has played guard, but why are you going to change two positions to fix one? Butker makes the most sense here.
Agreed.
In terms of the least disruption to the line. The problem, though, Sal, is penetration. I mean, defensive lines have been constantly getting into the offensive backfield of the Bills. I mean, we're used to seeing, and Steve and I talked about this on the show this week, but the idea for a player like Devin Singletary or Zach Moss, they're not running for 60-yard touchdowns. They're not burners, but they are elusive. And you want them to make the guy miss where? At the second and third level. Make the last guy miss.
Get him into the hole at least.
Yeah.
Right.
They got to make guys miss in their own backfield. And I thought PFF had a great stat. I copied it, so I'm going to give Pro Football Focus the credit on this one.
Okay.
The Bills have 102 yards before contact this season. It's the fewest in the league.
Yeah, that's
and
terrible.
It is less than half the league average.
Wow.
Last season, they had the sixth most yards before contact, 665. They have 102 on the season.
Yeah, I think that's a shocker.
They are, like, I think I looked up the stat on an NFL site, and it said that 59% of Buffalo's rushing yards have come after initial contact. That's way too high. It cannot be that high. You've got to get those guys to the second level. I mean, it's one thing if you get an arm a tackle attempt as they're getting through the hole. You see that a lot. But, man, these guys are having to make somebody miss in their own backfield. They're not even at the line of scrimmage yet.
Is there a power element missing from this offense right now? And what I mean by that, Steve, is their offense is predicated, their run game, on lots of stuff in the backfield, read option, you know, handing off here, looking, picking a hole. Do they need to just go straight forward more?
Well, that's a good question. And I think that depends on what you think the strength of each offensive lineman is. Some guys can get out
maybe
and run.
Feliciano, you can do it more.
Feliciano, I mean, I think you're good road grading with him and Quentin Spain, but those guys aren't here, you know. And I think they wanted to have an offensive line, like with Cody Ford at guard and Mitch Morse in there. They feel like they can get out ahead of the screen passes and get out in front. And they've done a better job of that this year than we saw a year ago.
And Winters is more mobile in that regard.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So that's something that they brought to the table, particularly with Josh playing so much better than he did a year ago. But I think in the running game, I mean, let's face it, you know,
between the tackles has been tough.
Between the tackles, they're getting beat up. Yeah. I mean, and they're having trouble getting to the second level. They're having trouble maintaining guys. I think whenever you got a team that is not winning at the line of scrimmage, and they're not doing it on either side of the ball, you come off looking soft.
Right.
And you can change that a little bit with a different style of run game where you got these guys firing off, you know, full ahead, straight ahead, or coming off and you got trap blocks where the offensive lineman, where the guard will go to your right guard will go all the way to the left and kick a guy out. Those are more power run, trap kind of running games instead of coming off in a zone read where everybody just kind of fires off forward, gets on somebody and stays on him and let the back pick his spot. Either one of those are fine for these two running backs. I think they can run any of that stuff. I think they'd be better. These two guys would be better in their zone read than the power run. But I think until they can figure out a way to dominate the line of scrimmage or at least get a stalemate, the running game's not going anywhere.
Well, as much as the running game has struggled, let's be honest, the identity of this team when they got through 4-0 was the passing game. They were attacking downfield. They were scoring points. They were scoring quickly. They were going over the top. That just has been not there the last 2 weeks. And I'll point directly to John Brown not playing in Tennessee and then clearly being hobbled and not being an impact here on Monday. They need to get back to that, but they don't have John Brown. So how do you do that? How do you get back to that identity without having John Brown?
I don't know that you can in the same way unless you make Diggs like that guy and you don't move him around. But the reason Diggs has been so successful is they have moved him a lot, and I think you have to keep doing that. And so I think you just change up the way you dial up your pass plays. I mean, Davis isn't a burner, but he has a sneaky way of getting behind defenses. So you can possibly put him in a similar type role, but he's not going to get behind defenses in the same way.
Here's the thing. It's going to look different. With Duke Williams in there and John Brown, when John Brown's out and you just have, you know, Gabe Davis, you know, Cole Beasley, and Diggs, the offense is going to look different without John Brown. They're going to have to find an identity or create an identity with Duke Williams over there or with
even
Andre
Isaiah
Robertson,
McKenzie or someone.
Somebody. I mean, they're going to look different. They've got to do different things. And they don't try and do the same thing you did with John Brown in the lineup. They're going to figure out what they can do. And it's going to be different to do it against the New York Jets than it was against the Kansas City Chiefs. Mm-hmm. And they've got to do that on the fly. And it's hard to do, particularly when these guys have been on the practice squad running everybody else's offense against our defense. You know, you're going to have to come in and say, okay, what do we know about Duke? And I think that's one of the reasons you bring Duke Williams or hang him around. You've had him for a year. You've seen him in big moments.
Yep.
You know what he can bring to the table. You're not going to ask him to do what John Brown did. We don't know what this offense should look like without John Brown in it. They thought they were going to have him last week. They didn't have a backup plan when he was hobbled. They probably knew he wasn't going to be good, but what are we going to be able to do against this Chiefs defense? This week, I think they kind of knew early on John Brown not going to be a go. Let's figure out what we're going to do. And they should come out more ready this week for a Jet defense, particularly a Jet defense coordinated by Greg Williams, who they've seen a ton. They'll have a handle on what this offense should look like, but it won't look like it. They won't try to make it look like what it did with John Brown. They'll make it look like they need it to look and get their guys to do what they do best.
And Chris, let's remember how the Bills have attacked in the two games, not counting last year's finale. The opener last year, the opener this year. The Bills like to spread this team because they don't have the guys who can cover. The Bills can put a lot of weapons on the field, and the Jets will just really have a tough time covering. That might be the answer here, which is you don't need to spread it vertically as much as you can just go horizontally and force them to cover you all over the field.
Right. I mean, Brian Poole is probably their best cover player, and he's their nickel.
Right.
So, I mean, I think he's the most talented of the group, and there's only so much you can do in there. I mean, maybe he can neutralize Cole Beasley, but you still have other people you got to worry about. And I think we saw in the first matchup that Diggs is a gigantic mismatch, whether it's Pierre Desir or Bless Austin on the other side. So, I mean, the Bills still have weapons that they can throw at the Jets for which they really don't have any good answers.
Yeah, Marcus May is a good safety. He's been playing well for them. And I think Desir he got benched last time this team.
Yeah, that's right.
Played.
He was supposed to be their big free agent signing DB, and he didn't even made it through the first game against the Bills.
I'm kind of like you. I like Brian Poole and May on this secondary for the Jets, and we'll see how they match up and whether they're going to go zone or whatever. But,
a lot of coverage.
Remember the first half of this game against the Bills here in Orchard Park on week one? The Bills handled them. I mean, they were all over him early. And Josh Allen had two fumbles early on. But other than that, man, they were cutting through him. And, as a defensive coordinator, You're not counting on Josh Allen to cough it up twice when he's running right. the ball down your throat.
He did, and that's the other thing. They did run it. They ran with Josh Allen. That could be a part of the game plan today. We've talked about that. We'll see that. I want to switch to the defense, though, before we run out of time here in the first segment, because there's a lot to handle here. And, guys, I think the game plan was the right one and the smart one going against the Chiefs, which is take away their best option, what they do, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. And let's be honest, the last 3 weeks they've done that. They did that against Derrick Henry. He only had 50-something yards. They did that against Josh Jacobs, only 50-something yards. The question I have, though, is because they've had a couple of losses here and teams have learned how to attack them differently, Steve, is this Bills defense equipped to be able to do a lot of things good, or do they have to kind of pick and choose each week what they want to stop and then hope the other one falls into place?
Well, that's the way they choose to do it. They're going to pick and choose something to stop. The problem is, like we've been talking about, their defensive line is getting handled right now, and that ripple effect goes to Tremaine Edmonds and A.J. Klein, or whoever else is playing linebacker. We don't know what Matt – it may be a little different with Matt Milano in there. Certainly you'd feel better in the against the throwing game with Matt Milano in there because of his athleticism. But everything's predicated on their inability to win and hold the line of scrimmage. They've got to either make plays in the backfield or – make tackles five and the run game. You gotta get penetration like with an Ed Oliver. Ed, we knew this, and people know this. Ed's not built to hold the line of scrimmage. No. He's built to play on the other side of the line of scrimmage.
He's not star.
Right. He's going to get on their side of the line of scrimmage and blow the play up early. If you're not doing that, particularly if you don't have a guy there that takes up that soaks up the guard. That's,
he needs a big Haas next to him.
Yeah. And
that's right.
Now they did. They played a little better actually with. With Quentin Jefferson and Justin Zimmer against the Chiefs, their run defense was markedly better statistically. And then, of course, the Bills said, you know, we can't let this Zimmer go. We got to keep him because he was going to get signed.
That's right.
I would look for him to get some more reps, and it'll be interesting to see who they have as healthy scratches and help and guys that are up, because everything I think with this defense is predicated on their ability to find a way to win up front because they haven't been able to do it yet.
What do you think, Chris, about
how
the defense has looked and maybe trying to figure out doing a little bit more in each area or just shutting down what the other team does best?
I don't know if this defensive line is going to be able week in and week out to win the line of scrimmage battle on a consistent basis. And it seems as though other members of this defense see it on film as well. Tre'Davious White had very telling comments this week, I thought, when he made himself available to the media on Zoom interviews because he was asked, what do you think this defensive identity is? Because they really haven't had one through the first six games this season. And he said, well, you can be one of three things. He said, you can be a defense that holds the other team down on the yardage. You can be a team that holds the team down on the scoreboard and, you know, get off the field third down, that kind of stuff. Or you can be a defense that takes the ball away. And he said he thinks they are going to be a defense that takes the ball away, which says to me, he's questioning whether they can be either of those other two things.
But they haven't even taken the ball in the way that much.
They haven't.
Two interceptions on the year.
Two interceptions and five fumble recoveries.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So they better get going on that.
That's right.
Really
fast
if they want to do it. But I think they look at their offense and they say, look, our offense, for the most part, has been really productive.
That's right.
So if we can give them two extra possessions a game, even if we're giving up tons of yards, if they have two extra possessions and cash in, we're probably winning football games.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Tre'Davious White sees as the path of least resistance and the most achievable thing that they can do defensively. So the secondary's got to be a lot healthier, though, for that to happen.
Yeah, they've given up 400 yards three games this season. They gave up 400 yards a game three times in the last two seasons combined. They've given up 400-yard games more this season in a third of the season than they gave up in the last 2 years combined. They're giving up yards. They're getting gashed.
And
now they have been able to keep their opponents under their season average for points usually, so they have been able to keep them up. Their red zone defense is a little better this year for some reason, but Tre'Davious was right. I think it's really telling that they got to find something they do well, and I think they've got to focus on getting the ball away because they just don't have the horses up front to get into a physical battle.
They're not going to be able to stand in there and grind and hold teams to third and 12 and third and 13 on a consistent basis and get off the field on third down. I mean, it hasn't happened since probably week one or two.
I'll say
where
this.
They got off the field.
I'll say this, though. You're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, even though you get them into a third and eight, and the Bills got them into a third and five plus a number of times, and they could not get them off. They were 9 of 14
That's
on
right.
the day.
Yeah.
You can't.
That's third down defense has not been good all year.
So you better take the ball away.
The Jet team, you got a chance of doing that. If you can hold them to a third and five, to me, it's third and five and longer. Maybe you got a chance to get off the field against these guys. They're not the passing offense, and as much respect as we have for Sam Darnold, we all like him.
Yeah, they're last in the league on third down.
Right.
That's 30% conversion.
So on first and second down, this week may be the money downs to get the Jets into a spot where you can beat them on third.
All right, I don't have a ton of time for this, but I can't not talk about it, and that is Tremaine Edmonds, because you brought up Zoom call for Tre'Davious White. On the Zoom call with Sean McDermott this week, very interesting, Chris. He was asked, specifically, do you need more impactful plays from your middle linebacker? One word answer, yes.
Yeah, and then he followed up after that, and, you know, he essentially said that, yes, to a certain extent, he's been compromised by the shoulder. I think, as Steve pointed out, his play has also been compromised by the defensive line play.
Yeah,
he's got linemen coming 100%. At him at the second level. He can't run free and hit, but I will say that he also has been hesitant at times,
yes.
and he has not been in his gap. And I don't know where the disconnect is, but Steve and I talked about this on the show. It just seems like he's not playing as a free thinker. Like, it's almost like he's thinking the extra half second. I think he's afraid to make a mistake, which is so weird for a third-year player who's been in this defense. Like, as a rookie, you would expect that. Okay, he's thinking too much. He's a half second late. That's why he's not in his gap, or that's why he's not making the play. This is a guy that this team traded up for in the first round. 16th pick overall. Freakish physical ability. But I thought it was interesting that Coach said later in the week, he's just got to play free. Or maybe it was Coach Frazier. I can't remember who it was.
Right.
That he got to play free. He's just got to go play. And if you're wrong, so what?
Yeah,
just play fast.
That's right.
Play loose. Remember when he told Josh Allen, hey, you got to cut it loose?
Do the same
remember
thing.
Remember that?
Yeah.
He's got to tell Tremaine the same thing. Cut it loose. Just go make a play. If you're not 100% right all the time, that's all right. You're so freakish, you make a play when you're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he's that talented.
His problems all stem from the guys up front, because I think he doesn't trust what's going to happen in front of him.
So that's a good point.
He's thinking about every other guy on the defense instead of what he's supposed to do and just attacking the
play. Let me start and ask you this, because
really
it's something I didn't even think about.
I think he feels responsible for how the defense is playing. He's trying to do too much.
Yeah, I agree.
He thinks he has to not only do his job, but also this guy over here who can't do his. I got to help him, and I got to help this guy over here who may not do it, or may not. I think he is trying to pick the whole defense up for himself, and he's being, A, forced to do that because of the guys in front of him,
right.
And B, because of his desire to make this defense successful, he's trying to do too much.
So you just brought a great point. I never even thought of it this way, Steve. Thank you. Which is, we see sometimes he does have a little problem shedding blocks when guys get on him because, you know, that's just the nature. But you're even saying that even when he's clean, he's not trusting the guys in front of him, so that makes him more hesitant, even if there's not a guy on him necessarily.
Right. He'll go out. He'll have on a power run play to his side. He'll skate to the outside, and he'll go out and get it so that if it's a wide run, it's right at him,
right.
And he's going to get it. But you can see him waiting because he thinks they're going to cut back because there's not going to be anybody on the backside to cut him off because – they just can't get
and he's off. Trying to do too much, maybe, so thinking, I don't want
to
make that mistake, as Chris
he's
said.
He's not going to his
That's
spot
right.
because he thinks he's going to get to his spot. He's, but he wants to make sure
That's right.
he didn't give up the
cover.
Big cutback. So that's where he's at. And once you start, you know, halfway going, you're done.
And that's only been compounded with Milano's absence because
that's right.
one of the few guys he believes he can trust.
Right.
Now he's got Tyrell Dotson next to him last. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's got all these different things. And I think he feels, as Steve said, ultimately responsible.
Bills by the numbers and the inactive list coming up after this timeout. Good segment there. Thanks, guys. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. All right, we're getting the inactives here in a moment. I'll let Chris Brown get to that. Let's stretch it up real quick, Chris, because I'm seeing that you're seeing it come over right now so we can tell people, right? Just want to get there because this is the big news here, I think, we'll get to, and then we'll do Bills by the Numbers in a minute. So inactives brought to you by Excelsior Orthopedics Express. Sideline with a sprain, strain, or break. Get to Excelsior Orthopedics Express.
Yeah, so inactive, Jake Fromm, John Brown, TJ Yeldon, Josh Norman, Cody Ford, Harrison Phillips. So this obviously means that Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano are active for today's game, which is great. you know, I think that it's going to be interesting to see, because Harrison Phillips is, again, a healthy scratch. So yep. Justin Zimmer is going to be the guy in there. So, yeah, good news for the defense with Milano and Tre'Davious White up.
Yes.
And I was encouraged that Tre'Davious White would play today when I only saw Dane Jackson.
Me too.
Called up from the practice squad, not Lafayette Pitts as well. If both of those corners got called up, then I'd be worried about him playing. But, yeah, so good news on the defensive side.
90 lines, 90 linemen, 9 defensive backs, boys. So that's how
it's a little different.
It's a little bit of a different roster construction today. All right, and welcome back to Countdown to Kickoff Roundtable. The Dunn Tire Roundtable is brought to you, of course, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills. Bills by the numbers, brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Thinking about today and planning for tomorrow. This is kind of an easy one when you think about it, but it's 56.2%. Anybody know what that is? 56.2%. It's a positive number for the Bills.
That's their third down conversion rate on offense. Right?
Number one in the league, Chris.
Yeah, for
number
a couple of weeks they've been number one. They were 58, I think, before last week.
What's been the secret? I mean, the points haven't been there lately. Why have they been so good on third down?
I think Josh, at least through the first 4 weeks, was exceptional at even converting the third and longs. I mean, they were in third and 13 sometimes in the first 4 weeks. And he was still converting them.
Yep,
I mean, he was off the chain. I mean, they were really killing it.
A lot of that has been Steph Diggs as well. That guy has made
He
gets separation even when they think he's getting the ball. And also, a lot of it has been Josh's ability to – he's done it a couple of times. Anytime they've got some play, not every play, but on a number of occasions, they drop back Josh's in shotgun. And either John Brown or Steph Diggs on the outside, one side or the other, has off coverage. At the snap, the corner bails off and off coverage, and Josh just takes the 8-yard hitch route on the outside. Those kind of plays add up, and you're not only on your first down conversion, but on your third down conversion, where you get out there and you're always in 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, and the ability to take that is huge. Josh making the right decisions on 1st and 2nd down has led to their success offensively, and there's a lot of time. And I'll tell you this too. This team, because of their running game, they're in third down a lot. They don't get first downs after second down. You know, they don't go first down, second down, first down too often. A lot of times they've got a lot of third downs, I think. They've got a lot of attempts at it. And they're very good at it because they keep it reasonable. So I think Josh's ability to make good decisions, take easier completions this year, has been a big difference maker.
All right, Chris, I have the Jets here. If you want to – you have them, the Jets inactives. They just came out here. I can read them to you if you want to do that.
Yeah, go for it, man. I don't have them.
James Morgan is a quarterback. But Sam Ficken, their kicker, is inactive. So is Jamison Crowder. Those are the big ones. Alex Lewis, an offensive lineman. Offensive lineman Cameron Clark. Cornerback Quincy Wilson and Jordan Willis, they actually traded defensive lineman. I don't know why he's listed as their inactive. It's kind of weird. Didn't they just trade him recently?
Yeah, he did.
He is on their official inactive list, which is kind of weird right here. So
leave it
I don't
to
know
the Jets.
There you
leave
go.
Leave it to the Jets.
All right. Follow
Jets are, the so Jets Alex are awesome, Lewis, aren't they?
So Alex Lewis is their starting left guard. So with him down, it's expected that Josh Andrews would be the starter at left guard. People I've talked to down there say Connor McDermott has only been worked at tackle, the former Bill. Even though he's listed in some places as a backup at guard, the anticipation is Josh Andrews would start for Alex Lewis.
All right, Chris Brown Bills, that's where you can find him on Twitter. He'll be all over the game today. Of course, BuffaloBills.com. Steve Tasker will join John Murphy on the play-by-play call. My name is Sal Capaccio. Thanks for tuning in to the Roundtable. Gentlemen, enjoy a 1 o'clock kickoff here today, and we hope all of you do as well, and keep it right here. This is Buffalo Bills football.
We know that the Jets haven't won a game yet, but we know they're going to be coming out fighting and swinging just because this is a division game. We've been telling a lot of the young guys who join our team here who don't really understand that there still is a rivalry between the Jets and the Bills, so the fans might not be in there to add that energy to that rivalry, but it's still there. It's still going to be there because we're division opponents, so we want to go out there and certainly sweep them and set the right tone for handling division games because we know in order for us to hang up a banner in this building, we got to take care of those games right there.
That is Micah Hyde of the Buffalo Bills. Bills safety, I'm Nate Geary. Welcome back to Countdown to Kickoff on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. I'm sorry, that was Jerry Hughes, not Micah Hyde. But the same for me. I'm still Nate Geary. That just wasn't Mike Hyde. Welcome back, everybody. And it's time now for our Geico Fantasy segment. Of course, brought to you by Geico. Great news. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman could do it. And you know what, Mike? We might as well go with that NFL music because it got me in the mood to talk about fantasy football. So we'll do that. But before we get into that, but I'm still good with the NFL music regardless. Let's get a quick check of the injury report, which is brought to you by the injury report we're bringing you right now. Anyways, we did hear from Sal Capaccio. The inactives are out. Cody Ford is out. He is out of the lineup with an injury. Matt Milano and Tre'Davious White both active. They were both on the injury report all week. Obviously, Matt Milano didn't play last week. Josh Norman out with the hamstring injury today, and John Brown is also out with the knee injury. So there's your quick check of the injury report, but time now for our Geico Fantasy segment, which I'm excited to go through because there's some interesting names of some players that if you're looking for some last-minute fantasy lineup changes, today's the day that you probably could do it. I'll start with the first guy across the league. That you should 100% considering rostering today, especially if you've got a tough situation at the running back spot like I do. Gio Bernard, who is available right now in 48% of ESPN standard scoring leagues. No Joe Mixon today. That means Gio Bernard will likely be the pace back out of the primary RB1 back out of the Bengals backfield. They're playing a Cleveland Browns defense that is not very good against the run. So consider adding Gio Bernard to your lineup this week if you're having issues at the running back position. That's a good find for you. And again, he just has been picked up in roughly 45 of the 48% of rosters he's on have just come this week due to the injury to Joe Mixon. So he's a hot commodity. If he's still available in your league, consider a pickup in a stream play this week. He is projected to have 14 points in standard PPR scoring leagues this week. Several other interesting names because if you're like me and you've got a whole bunch of Baltimore Ravens players, well, it's bye week. I've got three Baltimore Ravens in my starting lineup. Ravens defense, Lamar Jackson, Mark Andrews. So there's going to be some positions you're going to need filled today on a streaming basis. If you're looking for an interesting player at tight end, Mark Andrews out of the lineup this week with a bye week. One player I'm streaming this week, Houston Texans tight end Darren Fells. He's only rostered in 14% of ESPN leagues. He's coming off of a really great game last week against the Tennessee Titans. 6 catches for 85 yards in a score. 2 consecutive weeks with a touchdown. 2 consecutive weeks with 13 or more fantasy points. No Jordan Akins, their second tight end, who is a guy that definitely gets some action in that offense. So with no Jordan Akins, you've got Fells as their only tight end who's worth a play in this game, who's going to get a majority of those red zone touches. I'm going Fells today over a couple other options at the tight end position due to his potential target volume. So Darren Fells, Gio Bernard, two good ones for me to start this week if you're looking for fill-ins. I started and picked up Carson Wentz this week, who was a big play on Thursday night, ended up with 27 points in most PPR leagues. Only 61% rostered, so if you had an opportunity to pick up Carson Wentz this week, you definitely benefited and had him in the starting lineup if you played him on Thursday night against that Giants team in that 22-21 victory. Several other players, too, as well, that you could consider streaming this week. Obviously, no Jamison Crowder. Jamison Crowder's been a surprisingly good wide receiver for fantasy this year. After missing already 2 games this year, he's still ranked inside the top 22 in fantasy wide receivers in PPR leagues. He's a guy that through the first 4 of his 6 games played this year, he's scored at least 10 points in all 4 starts this year. So no Jamison Crowder, you're probably relying on some points to follow back up in your lineup. A guy like Julian Edelman today might be a decent play. He's rostered in only 78% of leagues, so his roster percentage is dropping by the week, because he just has not been bringing much value to fantasy owners over the last several weeks after that week 2 breakout where he had 8 catches for 179 yards with Cam Newton. Cam Newton back in the lineup, I am expecting more than 2 catches for 8 yards, which is what Julian Edelman posted last week against the Denver Broncos. San Francisco, equally as good against wide receivers right now, but I'm banking on a bounce back week for Julian Edelman in fantasy. Obviously today the question is there anybody worth streamlining starting for the New York Jets on offense? I'm saying no to Frank Gore. Obviously with no Jamison Crowder, you're left with Denzel Mims and Brandon Perriman, and I'm not playing either of those players. And Chris Herndon has long been a non-starter for me at tight end. I don't think Sam Darnold's a guy I'm really going near today unless you're in a really dire situation at the quarterback position. So no, the short answer to that question is I don't believe there are very many scenarios that I'm playing Sam Darnold today. And on the other side for the Bills, no TJ Yeldon in the lineup, which means I think Zach Moss today is probably in line to get some carries that you wouldn't necessarily get if you had TJ Yeldon in the lineup potentially poaching some of those third down catches. So if you're looking for a stream start offensively that isn't Devin Singletary, Zach Moss could be a decent start for you today against what I think is a not very good Jets defense. However, you are going to be looking at the strength of this Jets defense being their ability to stop runs in between the tackles. So if you're going with the Bills running back, maybe go with the running back that has a little more upside in the passing game. That's why, to me, Zach Moss maybe makes a little sense in this game today. Another interesting one to consider today are Houston wide receivers. They've been very hit or miss to start the season over the last 2 weeks. Both Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller have been must starts in fantasy. Brandon Cooks coming off of two games where he has 8 catches and 9 catches respectively the last 2 weeks. 161 yards in week 5, 68 yards last week against Tennessee. Touchdowns in each of those matchups. Brandon Cooks 30 points and then 21 points in back-to-back PPR league format weeks after a zero literal goose egg in week 4 against Minnesota. So some volatility at play for those Houston Texan wide receivers, but a good play against a Green Bay team with an offense that's looking to bounce back after a tough game against Tampa Bay. I expect Green Bay to put some points up. No Aaron Jones in the lineup. Jamal Williams could be a nice play for you. I'm staying away from A.J. Dillon. If I'm playing a running back, it's definitely going to be Jamal Williams here for the Green Bay Packers this week, so he's another nice play. How about Kenyon Drake? Kenyon Drake finally has the performance his fantasy owners have been waiting patiently to see. A 30-point outburst last week against the Dallas Cowboys. Big shocker there. But playing an equally vulnerable defense this week. Maybe not equally. Dallas defense is really, really bad. But the Seattle Seahawks defense has not been much better. So are you expecting back-to-back good performances after 20 carries, 164 yards, 2 scores, and 30 points last week from Kenyon Drake? I'm kind of hoping for a similar output this week against the Seattle Seahawks, a team, again, who has just struggled to stop people from scoring points. And a couple other matchups this week. Another really good start for you this week if you're looking for wide receiver help, Tre'Quan Smith of the New Orleans Saints. Both Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas not expected to play today. That means Alvin Kamara's value has skyrocketed through the door. And on top of that, Tre'Quan Smith's value should also rise. Jared Cook's value also this week could be better. I think Cook, Kamara, and Tre'Quan Smith are going to be your three primary targets for Drew Brees this week against the Carolina Panthers, who don't have the best defense, especially against the pass. So I'm expecting Tre'Quan Smith a big game if you're looking for somebody to play. That's one I'm really, really looking at. Also, an interesting one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire coming off the big performance last week against the Bills. 26 carries, a season high for him, coming off his previous season high, which came in week 1 against Houston. 26 carries, 161 yards, 20 fantasy points last week for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But we are told that Le'Veon Bell makes his debut for the Kansas City Chiefs today, and we expect a split of carries. So not a great day if you are if you're fantasy owners of Clyde Edwards-Helaire thinking you're going to get some nice performances and some volume from Helaire after the big week 6 matchup against the Bills last week. I don't know if I'm starting Helaire. If you have Helaire, there's a good chance you don't have the flexibility to sit him. But Le'Veon Bell, with this potential to poach some carries, especially in the red zone and especially in passing down situations, I'm definitely paying attention to what Edwards-Helaire's role will be in today's game. And make sure, again, this is a little last minute. There were some rumblings that he wouldn't play, but he did travel with the team. Aaron Jones is out of the lineup for the Green Bay Packers. So if he's in your lineup, make sure you get him out. He is inactive and will not be playing today. There should be some options for some stream starts in ESPN standard leagues to go find. We were just talking with producer Mike Jafari about Justin Jackson. Is he a play today in standard leagues? Justin Jackson, projection of 14 points against the Jacksonville Jaguars today. I expect the Chargers to probably put some points up in that game. In my opinion, Jackson has looked the best out of him and Kelly over the last 2 weeks. Jackson's also been getting a majority of the carries. Last week, 15 for 71 and 5 for 23 in terms of catches and receiving yards last week. 14 points in PPR leagues last week against, or 2 weeks ago, I'm sorry, against New Orleans. This Jacksonville Jaguars defense, not particularly good. Looking at it, Justin Jackson's start would not be a bad play if you're an owner and looking for a spot start. As for San Francisco running backs, Jerick McKinnon, probably a guy I'm looking to start this week. Mozart is out of the lineup. Wilson is a little banged up. He is active. He will play, but I'm expecting Jerick McKinnon to be the primary back against a New England defense who has not necessarily had the same level of success this year that they did last year. So I'm looking at Jerick McKinnon. Another interesting start for me. Somebody asked me this question on Twitter earlier, and I think this was an interesting answer that I came back with. A player I'm really looking at, Tim Patrick, wide receiver, Denver Broncos. KJ Hamler back in the lineup, however, for Denver, so look for some of those targets to potentially go elsewhere. But he's coming off of 200-yard performances in back-to-back games, right? 18-plus yards a catch over the last 2 weeks, and 7 and 8 targets respectively, 23 and 14 points. He's got 3 consecutive 10-plus double-digit performances over the last 3 weeks. Against Tampa Bay, he went 4 for 43 in a score. Against the Jets, 6 for 13 in a score and 23 points, his season high. And last week against New England, 4 for 101. He's their deep ball target. If you're looking for a quick start, Tim Patrick is owned in only 24% of standard ESPN scoring leagues. So go out, get Tim Patrick. If you're hurting at the wide receiver position, maybe you've had underwhelming performances, that might be a good one for you to start this week as well. Noah Font expected to be in the lineup as well, so he could poach some of those targets as well. I'm starting Font in most of my leagues, so that's a decent play too for you. I was talking about Houston wide receivers. You know who else is actually coming off of a couple of decent performances in a row? Randall Cobb. Really, all three wide receivers in Houston are playable and rosterable this week. Against Green Bay, who, I think are going to put some points up against Houston, and Houston's pass offense is going to have to likely put the ball in the air for a victory. Otherwise, this is your last week probably of Mike Davis, right? I mean, if you're a fantasy owner, you've been playing on borrowed time. If you've got Mike Davis as in your fantasy league, you've been praying, pushing off, hoping that Christian McCaffrey stays on the IR a couple extra weeks. I'm guessing, and from some reports, it's looking like it's closer and closer for Christian McCaffrey's return over the next week or two, meaning Mike Davis's fantasy shares become significantly less valuable over the next 2 weeks. Mike Davis has been a fantasy stud in lieu of Christian McCaffrey, is currently running back six, right? After coming off 15, 22, 21, 29 in a disappointing week last week against Chicago, only bringing in 11 points, but did have that score to salvage that matchup. So this is probably your last 2 weeks of getting the opportunity to see value from Mike Davis, so you might as well get it while you can. Again, no Joe Mixon today. Gio Bernard, a guy that you can start in many leagues. That's one that I know I'm running with today as well. And the last one I'll end on this segment is A.J. Green. That's right, A.J. Green, a guy who did not see double-digit targets since week two, saw 11 targets after 6 combined targets over the previous 2 weeks against Jacksonville and Baltimore. A.J. Green starting to bring back some value. He's rostered in only 69.4% of ESPN leagues, 8 catches for 96 yards on 11 targets last week, 17 points in PPR leagues. A.J. Green might be a decent play today against the Cleveland Browns, who have not seen a good performance yet from their secondary, particularly Denzel Ward, their highly touted first-round pick. So that's our fantasy segment brought to you by Geico. Saving you money on car insurance has been in Geico's playbook for over 75 years. So after the game, get a quote at geico.com. Geico, so easy, a caveman can do it. Before we finish off this hour and get you ready for the 12 o'clock hour, and we've got 1 hour till kickoff, I want to remind folks that we'll get into our three key matchups. That's coming up next if you're hanging out, sticking with us. We will have our three key matchups to the game. That's coming up on our next segment. And we'll also talk a little more fantasy as well and implications from this game. So we'll take a quick timeout on the other side. We'll continue talking and breaking down this Bills-Jets matchup. You're listening to Countdown to Kickoff. This is Buffalo Bills football.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.